America loves its cars. Cars are part of Americana. How we get to work, how we get to just about anything. And we like driving to get there. But like everything else, cars are changing. I'm Bill Mick. Welcome to the weekend in this edition of the Florida Roundtable. I'm no mechanic or a technician. I'm also not an economist, but our cars are wrapped in technology and the global economy. They're a big factor in our personal finances, and like everything else, they're more expensive to own and operate. There are multiple factors in all of this. Joining us to sort it out this week on the Florida Roundtable is a friend and successful auto dealer in his own right, Neil Huta. It's ahead this week on the Florida Roundtable from the Florida News Network. Our love for automobiles and the things we face trying to get, keep one, and the factors that go into play. We're back in moments.
Do you have an invention idea but don't know what to do next? Call InventHelp today. We have representatives nationwide who will explain the InventHelp process step by step. Over 10,000 patents have been secured through InventHelp's patent referral services. The InventHelp data bank includes thousands of companies who have agreed to review new ideas. We've been helping inventors since 1984. Let's help you next. Get started today.
Call us for free information at 1-800-558-5497. Again, 1-800-558-5497.
You're running late. The light turns yellow. You speed up. Swerve around a slow driver. Tailgate to make up time. It might feel like driving, but it's reckless driving. In Florida, reckless driving is the number one cause of fatal crashes. Speeding, ignoring stop signs, failing to yield. They're not shortcuts. They're risks. Stay alert. Drive defensively. Keep your distance. And when tempers flare, don't escalate. Take a breath and arrive alive. Brought to you by the Florida Department of Highway Safety and Motor Vehicles.
Who did you let down today? Your wife? Your kids? Well, how about yourself? Take a look in the mirror. If you're tired of your drug and alcohol problem, you need to fix the problem and right now, before you hurt or kill yourself, or worse yet, somebody else. Call the addiction specialist now at the Reset Addiction Treatment Helpline. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We'll find you the right treatment regardless of your financial situation. When you call right now, you'll speak to a recovering addict who understands what you're going through right now. Let us help you break your addiction to drug and alcohol before it's too late. This call is completely confidential and free. So take 5 minutes of your time and call us right now. We're here answering the phone. I promise it'll change your life.
Call 800-853-0975. That's 800-853-0975. 800-853-0975. Again, 800-853-0975.
Glad you're with us this weekend on the Florida Roundtable. I'm Bill Mick. And don't forget, you can find our podcast, previous shows, this show when it's done, at BillMick.com. Top of the page there, you'll see our Florida Roundtable podcast. So catch up with us there when you can. Neil Huta is with us this morning as we're talking cars, costs, and concerns. And there are plenty of them that abound for everybody. Neil, thank you. It's good to have you along. Appreciate you joining me today.
My pleasure, Bill. It's a pleasure to be here with you.
Let's talk about your background, and you are an auto dealer by trade, I guess?
Yes, I'm a minority partner in the Boniface Hires Automotive Group, and I've been in that position for 36 years.
So you've been around this a little while.
Absolutely.
Which is why you're so knowledgeable when I talk to you about these things, which is why I wanted you in here. Thanks for coming in.
I appreciate the invite.
Sure. What got you to where you are? How did you get started in all of this?
Well, when I was 10, if anybody told me I was going to be a car dealer, I'd have looked at them like they had three eyeballs in their forehead.
Okay.
So it was a happy accident, really, where I just fell into a career that my strengths fit well into. I started off wanting to sort of be an entrepreneur, and I went to school and studied accounting and got my CPA license.
Okay.
And I spent 5 years in public accounting, sort of studying business, doing a lot of auditing, and really took notice of the car business and ended up doing tax work for Bernie Boniface and AJ Hires.
Okay.
And they needed somebody, and it just seemed like something very interesting to try. And here I am 36 years later.
What about the car business got your attention while you're doing the accounting work for them? What drew you that direction?
Well, when I was young, I've always loved cars.
Mm-hmm.
And I made money as a teenager buying and fixing up cars and selling them. And so,
unlike me, you're mechanically inclined. At least
I'm dangerously inclined.
Okay, that's fun. Where'd you go to school?
I went to my undergrad was at Stetson University, and I got an MBA at UCF.
Okay, very. So you've been busy education wise, work wise. You also dabble in internet products.
Well, I had a software company, still have it, where we provided software to auto dealers. And we peaked at about 250 customers in 2006, and I'm down to maybe a little under 30 right now.
Okay, so that's something that kind of went by the wayside. But did you develop that after you got into the auto business? Or was
yes.
That, okay.
I spotted a market and was seriously considering just doing that exclusively. And I'd gotten it built up to the point where I had an office in Merritt Island and five people working for me.
Oh, wow.
But I was on the road constantly, and it was interfering with the car business. And I had a fiance, and we were going to have a baby, and she had, children. So it was just the road part of it didn't work for me, but I learned so much building that business. It was the best education ever.
You know, that's interesting because experience can be the best teacher, there's no doubt. Let's talk in general about the car business. It ebbs and flows with the economy, and pretty much everybody's got to have a car. Most everybody has one, if not more than one. And it's a relatively, and even more so now, more expensive venture to do that. Is it a tough business to be in? You guys have multiple successful dealerships, multiple nameplates. How tough is it to keep it up and going?
It is a very challenging business. There's a lot more to it than people realize. And the worst enemy of a car dealer is another car dealer, because we'll cut each other's throat for a deal. But that's actually good for the consumer. And our philosophy has been provide value to the public, and try and serve the public. And, we also try and be very supportive of local interests in the community as well.
Mm-hmm. You find that a big part of your relationship with the community overall then?
Absolutely. I mean, we're local dealers doing business in our local community, and that's a huge pillar, and that's very important to Mr. Hires.
And there are a lot of factors that go into this that not even you guys get a control. We're going to talk about those because it impacts us all here on the Florida Roundtable.
Looking for cheap flights or cheap tickets? Call the low-cost airline travel hotline now for prices so low, we can't publish them anywhere. We'll even save you money with cheap travel deals on hotels, rental cars, even complete travel packages. Call us first for the absolute cheapest prices on U.S. and international airline tickets and hotels. 800-452-4846. 800-452-4846. That's 800-452-4846.
Need to sell your house fast? Whether you're facing foreclosure, stuck with bad tenants, or just ready for a fresh start, House Buyer Network can help. We buy homes as is for cash. No fees, no commissions, no repairs. Get a fair cash offer in just 24 hours and close in as little as 7 days. Call 833-464-0827 now for your free no-obligation offer. That's 833-464-0827. House Buyer Network. Fast cash, no hassle.
Hello, I'm Hector Elizondo, Emmy Award-winning actor, and I want to talk to you about getting older. My body hurts, my joints ache, and sometimes I forget.
I forget that doing all your own scenes for a movie isn't always the best decision, especially when you're galloping side saddle down a countryside road on a horse named Archibello, who seems to have only one speed, high. And pulling on his reins only seems to encourage him to go even faster. So, of course, my body hurts and my joints ache, but it's not because of my age. It's because I'm living my life. Oh, Archibello!
Don't let life pass you by. Take care of your brain health. It may just help you stay on top of your game.
As soon as this scene wraps, I'm going to kiss the ground, thank Archibello for his outstanding performance, feed him a carrot, and visit brainhealth.gov.
Find out how you can make the most of your brain as you age at brainhealth.gov.
Hey, continuing our look at cars, costs, and concerns. And as we noted before we took that brief pause, Neil Huda is with us. He's a auto dealer in the Space Coast. And there are factors that are beyond the control of either the customer or the dealer, or even beyond the manufacturers, things that come into play. I want to take us back just a little bit, because one of my major experiences in trying to understand this was when COVID happened, and then we started having supply chain issues, whether it was chips coming from overseas or other parts, or maybe the vehicles themselves coming from overseas. How did that impact the market? And it seemed to be pretty severe.
Well, it disrupted the supply-demand dynamic, and the customer actually was the one who ultimately suffered the most. Auto dealers ended up doing very well due to circumstances that were really completely out of their control. But what happened was the limited supply caused the dealers not to need to compete with each other as much. So dealers didn't need to advertise. So the advertising is one of the three big expenses in running a dealership. You've got advertising, you've got people, and you've got inventory. Well, two of those three, inventory and advertising, went very far down. And so that helped margins. And then the consumer was put in the place, if they wanted a car, they had to deal with dealer X because there was no other car. They couldn't go to dealer Y or Z and get them to compete against them. So
basically, dealers were naming their price.
Absolutely. And
did that feel good?
That's a loaded question.
Yeah, it is.
In the short run, in a way it does, because obviously you want to make as much money as you can. But in the long run, you know, you look at it and you're like, this is not good. We limited our markups and we were seeing crazy things happening. And the problem is 3 years down the road, when a consumer goes to trade in a vehicle, they're more upside down in that vehicle potentially.
Mm-hmm.
Now, where the consumer got helped is the trade-in valuations were also extremely high because used cars, the supply was disrupted as well. So if you went to a dealer and bought a car and paid too much, you also got too much for your trade. And generally, you were not as bad off. If you just bought a car without a trade, you took the full brunt of those increased pricing.
But if you had a car or truck that you had paid off and it was just time to trade it, you were in pretty good shape trade-in-wise.
Absolutely.
I remember getting letters throughout that period of time, and my truck's been paid off for years. I'm driving a 11-year-old truck, and I was getting letters from the dealership I bought it from. Hey, bring us your truck. We want to buy your truck, and we're offering you top dollar. And based on what I was looking at, they were offering top dollar, but I didn't want to get rid of my truck.
We were seeing 1- and 2-year-old Chevrolets come back to the dealership and bring more than they paid for them.
Is that right?
It was insane. Well, what happened is, as soon as the new car inventory tightened, the rental car companies were cut off. So they had no new inventory. So they went out and they bought the 1- and 2-year-old used vehicles. And so that tightened up the used vehicle market and really, really disrupted the market.
Have you recovered from, well, you guys weren't hurting too bad, apparently, although there had to be some pain in there somewhere.
Us dealers are back to beating the hell out of each other, and margins are back to normal. And it's, you know, the winner is the consumer, and that's a good thing.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. During that COVID period of time, one of the concerns was that the computer chips that run so much in our vehicles these days, it's not the car my dad used to work on in the 1960s in the garage. It just doesn't happen that way. There was limited supply. You were seeing vehicles sold, cars, trucks, SUVs, whatever it may have been, that had certain features that were advertised as being on the vehicle. They couldn't put them in the vehicle because they didn't have the chips to make them work. How was that, and what did that do?
That certainly was a challenge for the consumer, because it was, you couldn't get really everything you wanted. And we were seeing vehicles come in that were equipped with that were supposed to be equipped with buttons on the doors to unlock from the outside, and those buttons were just not there. They never installed them. And things like that. And it was just a lot harder to get equipment combinations that you wanted or needed.
That also applied to parts when it was repair time, right?
Yes. There were some pretty severe disruptions where we were waiting 6 weeks for parts, and people were out in loaner cars, and it was definitely difficult on all sides.
It looks like, and we're going to move it into today now, it looks like that chip issue is on its way back. Apparently one of the major chip manufacturers for automobiles is, what, in the Netherlands somewhere?
Yes. Nexperia got bought out by a Chinese manufacturer a few years ago, and the Dutch government took that company over due to fears of all of the work being put in China and all kinds of
things. So
we're
talking about moving those jobs or some of those jobs to China.
Yes, and I'm not 100% familiar with the situation, but I've got a broad overview of it.
Sure, absolutely. And that's threatening another chip shortage now. Are you hearing wind of it through your manufacturers that you deal with?
Not only are we hearing wind of it, we're watching some of the manufacturers have production stoppages due to it already.
Already. I just saw this story a week or so ago. That's amazing. So there's international politics at play here.
Yes, we are a very internationally interconnected industry, and there's issues abounding everywhere, including the tariffs especially. There used to be a lot of free trade flowing between Canada, the United States, and Mexico, and that is starting to get disrupted.
And a lot of these manufacturers, American nameplates, are having parts and or vehicles entirely assembled in Canada or Mexico. And then some of it, parts are coming in here and being assembled here. Tell me a little bit about that side of the business, and how's that impact consumer pricing and the like?
That is happening on the manufacturing side, so I do not have a lot of knowledge. Mm-hmm. But we're reading and we're hearing that, particularly with Mexico, that it's the pricing is going to change pretty significantly. And Mexico has been a low-cost provider for Stellantis, for General Motors, and other manufacturers for quite a while, since the NAFTA deal, really.
Right. So it's got the potential, of, I would think, to disrupt production or features on vehicles that are coming here?
It's going to cause cost issues. And so what will happen is it's going to be interesting to see. Hopefully the manufacturers and the government can work out a deal where they have some time to transition, but that is not 100% certain at all.
There are limited manufacturers for these chips, and maybe for other things that are part of all of this. Not a lot of alternatives to go to, so we're going to see a direct impact on the vehicle you're going to be able to buy.
Absolutely. It takes up to 10 years to get a chip foundry going, and that's a huge lead time. So this is not something that hopefully this Nexperia thing, they can come up with a political solution that works for all the parties involved.
And that's something that's out of the hand of the manufacturer, certainly out of the hand of the dealers and the relationship there.
Yeah, this business, when I got into it 36 years ago, we had a bit of government regulation, but we were we like to joke that we're the last bastion of true free enterprise. That has changed dramatically. We have regulation. Our computer systems are regulated. We have the CFPB coming in regulating all kinds of things. Selling vehicles to the right group at the right price, so on and so forth, all with good intentions, but add layers of cost and create significant difficulties and some bureaucratic traps for people in the business.
Political overtones, even in the regulation of your business and how it operates.
What has happened, these regulations have become so sophisticated, it's very difficult for a single person operating a single dealership to enter in the business and do so and be able to maintain a profit, because you need economies of scale to spread these costs over.
You know, that's happened in my industry in radio. The radio conglomerates basically control most of everything that goes on. A mom and pop has a tough time hanging in there. And even if they have two or three stations, if you don't have that scale you're talking about, it can be tough to succeed.
Yes. And we've been very fortunate. We've over 36 years have acquired six rooftops.
Okay.
And so that has given us a real, real competitive advantage.
Oh, that would have to be. It gives you opportunity to spread risk and everything else there.
Yes, and you have different manufacturers, so one manufacturer may be doing very well while another one's struggling, and it helps you handle those kind of disruptions.
What about the things going on with the chips? And we can even throw the regulation in here for a little bit. Availability of vehicles and cost. Like, as you noted, during COVID, availability was down, cost went up. What are availability and cost like now for consumers?
Availability is excellent. The
talk of tariffs seemed like it was going to hurt that for a while. Has it played out that way?
We had a rush of business in the spring, particularly in March. We set a record and sold over 1,000 new and used vehicles in our group. And since March, the market is slowly softened, and it's been particularly soft in August, September, October, which is traditionally not that soft of a period.
Mm-hmm.
Some of this has been brought on by this government shutdown that really affected October. But some of it is just people postponing optional purchases.
Mm-hmm. So there's some discussion that this government shutdown that we are in the midst of as we record this, day 37, I believe, that it's going to shut down in the not-too-distant future. Do you anticipate on the backside that slowdown you've experienced then turns into a pickup as folks start doing more?
I hope so. We don't know.
How long will it take you to figure it out? You have to wait, what, 3 months, 6 months?
No, we'll know within 30 days.
All right. Neil Huda is with us. We are talking cars, costs, and concern. A little bit of the politics of it when we come back. We mentioned tariffs. That's where we go next. Stay with us.
Do you have an invention idea but don't know what to do next? Call InventHelp today. We have representatives nationwide who will explain the InventHelp process step by step. Over 10,000 patents have been secured through InventHelp's patent referral services. The InventHelp data bank includes thousands of companies who have agreed to review new ideas. We've been helping inventors since 1984. Let's help you next. Get started today.
Call us for free information at 1-800-558-5497. Again, 1-800-558-5497.
This boating season, the Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission wants to remind you to wear your life jacket. You make a difference in the life of your family. As a parent, it's your job to keep your kids safe and be there for them. You do it at home, at school, and you need to do it on the water as well. Always wear your life jacket and have your children wear theirs too. It's a basic step that saves lives. Life jackets save lives. Wear it, Florida. Visit myfwc.com for more information. That's myfwc.com.
Hi, I'm Johnny Erickson Tata. Growing up with a brother with autism, Sarah Crump witnessed firsthand how kids with disabilities felt left out by their peers. It's why at the age of 15, Sarah approached her cheerleading coach with an idea to include girls with disabilities on her school's cheer team. Well, what started out as an inclusive high school cheer team in a small town in Iowa has led to what is now known as Sparkle Effect, a thriving nonprofit with over 180 cheer teams across the United States, bringing students with and without disabilities together through cheerleading. The result? More confidence, higher grades, and better school attendance for kids with disabilities. And for those without a disability, new friends and a greater empathy. You want to learn more? Well, visit disabilitycampaign.org, where we have posted a link to the fabulous work known as the Sparkle Effect.
We're here early before they wake up. We stay late, we stay informed, we invest in the latest technology.
We take the time to train the next generation of doctors and nurses. We work together to make sure we heal their bodies and their minds.
We do this not because it's our job, but because this is about our veterans' lives. This is our mission. More than 300,000 of us working as one, together with families and loved ones. No matter where they live in this country, we'll be there.
We all come together and stand together to serve our veterans. We stand strong, united. Stand with us in caring for our veterans.
Imagine. Imagine being denied an apartment because of your religion, or your race, or because you have children, or a disability.
It's so wrong.
Yes, but who has the power to stop this?
You do. Each of us has the power. The law is on your side. It's illegal for landlords to discriminate because of race, color, religion, sex, national origin, disability, or familial status. If you suspect that you have experienced housing discrimination, file a complaint with HUD immediately so we can investigate it. Fair housing is your right.
Use it.
To learn more, visit hud.gov/fairhousing. That's hud.gov/fairhousing. Or call 1-800-669-9777. 1-800-669-9777. A public service message from HUD in partnership with the National Fair Housing Alliance.
Thanks for being with us this weekend on the Florida Roundtable. Bill Mick, along with Neil Huta, is part of the Boniface Hires Automotive Group on the Space Coast. Six dealerships you have, Neil, and you say business is okay, but a bit a little slow, huh?
Yeah, we're down about close to 20% right now from our previous volume.
Okay. Can you anticipate this? Do you see it in patterns as this goes on? If you could, you'd be making more than you're making
after
now.
After 36 years, we have no idea.
Oh, that's bad.
We, you know, what you have to do is you plan for the for the worst, and you hope for the best,
mm-hmm.
and you just make prudent decisions as you go along. You try and take care of your customers, your employees, maybe make a modest return along the way.
Well, and as we noted in an earlier segment, there are a lot of things that are outside the control of the manufacturers, the dealers, and consumers for sure, not the least of which, when President Trump returned to office, tariffs were an immediate part of the discussion. The latest discussion on tariffs is a 25% tariff on imported trucks. Is it heavy-duty trucks, light trucks, all the above? What do you know about these?
I believe it's primarily the heavy-duty trucks, but it comes down and affects some of the trucks that we actually retail. For instance, Stellantis, their delivery trucks are going to be affected by this to the fact that they're manufactured in Mexico.
All right. Is it a plus or a minus as we see these tariffs come into play? The goal is, let's get these things made in America so America is self-sufficient when it comes to these needs and these products. As you noted on the chips, that can be a long-term thing to get up and running. What about repatriating manufacturing to the U.S.?
If it actually works, it's probably a plus. That remains to be seen.
Mm-hmm.
My thoughts on this are I would really prefer if we were able to take a gradual approach instead of just going from 0 to 25%, say, okay, for the next 6 months, it's 5%, then next year it's 10%, and then 15 and 20, and give industry a bit of a lead time to react to this.
I like the sound of that. Do you know, I know this is not the world you live in, but if you were able to advise the president, that's what you'd lay in front of it.
Yes, I would advise a strong hand, but give them an off-ramp to get this done.
Overall impact of this going to be less availability and again, higher cost for consumers, or do we really know yet?
It's going to be very limited. It's affecting more of the commercial. So a segment of our business, the commercial segment, will get impacted. Mm-hmm. Our Chevrolet store will probably do a little better. Our Chrysler store will struggle a bit. But it's not going to directly hit most consumers who are out buying SUVs.
Okay, that's good to know. It would seem to me this would open the door. Matter of fact, I've read, and I'm referencing a lot of stories by a lady named Lauren Fix, who's a great automotive writer, and I've learned a lot from reading her stuff, especially since I have a lot of room to learn things when it comes to automotive, as you well know. Like foreign manufacturers would have an opportunity here to be able to partner with American manufacturers and at least abate some of this tariff impact on them.
Yes, absolutely, but it takes time.
How would it work?
I can't speak to that, but I can tell you this. My partner, A.J. Heyer, sent me an article this morning. Mitsubishi, because of the tariffs, they are selling less vehicles at retail because their costs have gone up. So they have gone to doing a lot of fleet business. So they're selling vehicles to the rental car industry, so on and so forth, in order to try and keep production up. So the tariffs definitely do impact things.
As you look at that, and I dealt with a Mitsubishi dealer when I was in California. I had a radio show every weekend, and we did the show together, and it was interesting. He was doing like you're saying, trying to help consumers. Here's how we get you into a car. Here's what's going to work for you. Let's not get you so you're over your head, those kind of things. And it eventually evolved into we're road tripping California, and here's where you're going when I was doing radio there. It's an opportunity for these foreign nameplates to maybe gain some ground they hadn't had a chance to before.
There are a lot of promises from manufacturers to build manufacturing in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a Kia dealership, and I know Kia and Hyundai are very intent on increasing their footprint, and that's going to create a lot of manufacturing jobs, and it will definitely help the economy because those people will be able to go out and afford to buy the products that we're selling.
A lot of the columns that I've read relating to the auto business is, and one of them Lauren Fix did, it's been some time back, talked about the impact of the local auto dealer on the local community. And you're talking a significant number of jobs at each of those dealerships. Ballpark average for me, your dealerships are pretty good sized. What kind of employees at each dealership you're looking at?
Between six locations, we have 375 employees. So our larger stores are a little over 100. Smaller stores, we have two itty-bitty stores, which have about 20 apiece.
Okay.
And then your next size up are between 40 and 60.
Okay. So, again, a lot of jobs in an economy, and when you look at the number of dealerships around, and there are multiple dealerships, we're a big county, at least where we are, and a lot of employment there, a lot of employment that comes through your sales staff, through your maintenance staff, the repair shop, the body shop, and then your administrative staff has to be fairly big as well, I would think.
We have been very fortunate by consolidating our administrative function. We have kept those numbers down and been able to really, really achieve some efficiencies. We've probably got 14 admin people in our central location.
And you do all your admin at one spot?
Everything.
That's outstanding. That has to help, there's no doubt. That also ends up being a help to the consumer because you have less cost in getting the job done for everybody.
Yeah, everybody wins in those scenarios.
Well, let's talk about the consumer for a little bit. There was some tax relief that Lauren Fix wrote about in the big, beautiful bill that now, in reversing some of the previous administration's policies, not throwing all the tax breaks at electric vehicles. In fact, those tax breaks are gone now, but there are some tax breaks in that bill. to help people buying American-made vehicles. It looks like there's an emphasis on helping these American manufacturers, these American businesses, in selling these cars.
Yeah. So I have some maybe sort of contrarian thoughts in this area.
Okay.
When Joe Biden was elected, he went so far into over-regulating the automotive business and did it so quickly that he could have, had those policies been kept in place, he could have put some manufacturers out of business.
Wow.
Stellantis in particular was very vulnerable because their DNA was sort of the macho muscle car thing.
Mm-hmm.
And they were probably the least prepared manufacturer. And so their Hemi engine, for instance, went away under the Biden protocol. But the other thing, they tried to force electric cars very rapidly, much more rapidly than the technology was able to evolve.
Mm-hmm.
And electric cars may ultimately be a good thing. We don't know yet. It depends on where the technology goes. So Biden went too far, and I think when we reversed all of these, I think we probably went a little too far reversing them. One of the functions of government, we need more long-term planning in our government.
Mm-hmm.
And so sort of incubating the electric car industry to some extent is probably a good thing. We went a little too far in that, but now we've sort of gone in the opposite direction.
Well, and as you mentioned, the long-term planning, when you have an administration that lasts 4 or at the most 8 years, and it's going to change, and you've got the divided country we have today, those policies, they have swung back and forth like a pendulum, it looks like.
Absolutely. And that has not benefited the American public.
Well, and as we look at this, this particular tax relief in the Big Beautiful Bill is for U.S. assembled cars, not discriminating against the electric or the gas-powered. It's bringing the opportunity. They say it's targeted at mid-income buyers.
Yeah, that's probably a good thing. I have not studied that particular area very well, so I don't have a lot of input to add there.
Are there incentives? Does this allow you to, something like this, allow you to incentivize buyers in some fashion?
Not at our level. It might happen at the manufacturer.
So it come from the manufacturer, it would come to
yes.
you. That's interesting. And this thing, though, only scheduled to last till 2028, which, oddly enough, will be the next election. So we'll see how that plays out as we talk about it going back and forth. We're back in moments on the Florida Roundtable.
If you're living with diabetes and using insulin, you know the pain of pricking your fingers over and over again. By wearing a small remote device called a continuous glucose monitor or CGM, you can reduce the pain of pricking your fingers right away. If you're testing your blood sugar 4 or more times per day, injecting insulin 3 or more times per day, or using an insulin pump, call the Diabetic Health Hotline today and learn about the latest CGM technology. A CGM can immediately reduce pain. It's accurate, easy to use, and helps you make better diabetes treatment decisions. And if you have Medicare, you can get a new CGM at little or no out-of-pocket cost. Plus, get free shipping, and we'll bill your insurance company for you. Call now to receive your new continuous glucose monitor at little or no out-of-pocket cost.
Call 800-906-9086. That's 800-906-9086. Again, 800-906-9086. That's 800-906-9086.
Need to sell your house fast? Whether you're facing foreclosure, stuck with bad tenants, or just ready for a fresh start, House Buyer Network can help. We buy homes as is for cash. No fees, no commissions, no repairs. Get a fair cash offer in just 24 hours and close in as little as 7 days. Call 833-464-0827 now for your free no-obligation offer. That's 833-464-0827. House Buyer Network. Fast cash, no hassle.
Every time you step on the gas, you're making a choice. Speeding might save seconds, but it can cost lives. In 2024, speeding was the third leading cause of fatal crashes in Florida. Speed limits are there to protect you and others. They never exceed 70 miles per hour on Florida highways. Know the limit. Obey it. And slow down when it changes. Slow down. speed kills. Let's all arrive alive. Brought to you by the Florida Department of Highway Safety and Motor Vehicles.
Continuing this weekend's edition of the Florida Roundtable, Bill Mick with Neil Huta, auto dealer extraordinaire with Boniface Hires Automotive Group on the Space Coast. Neil, I want to take us into the future a little bit, a little bit of fantasy and fiction, but it's maybe not that, and maybe it's coming quicker than we thought. Saw a story the other day about self-driving cars. There's going to be some testing on flying cars in the Tampa area in the not-too-distant future. I don't want to go there yet, but let's go with these self-driving vehicles. We're seeing them in some parts of the country. Is that a trend that's coming? Are we going to get hit with that?
It is coming at us. It's hard to say how quickly, but there's a lot of really convenient features that are coming out of that movement. For instance, my wife has a Kia Telluride, and I push a button. It's got a lane departure button, and the car basically steers itself. So if you have that on and you
are you telling me when the wife's driving, you push the button so the car drives?
Well, of course. Actually, she's a better driver than I am, believe it or not. Yep. But, you know, say you grab a cup of coffee or you change the radio station, people, when they do those things, can swerve a little bit.
They'll
by
drift,
accident.
Yeah.
So that feature came directly out of that self-driving movement. And you have cars that can park themselves now, and they have different levels of autonomous driving. They've classified them from level 1 to level 5.
Okay.
And I am not familiar with who it is, but somebody, I believe, is about to release a level 4 car to the public.
Meaning level 4, you won't be driving it much at all yourself?
It can do substantially most of the driving, but you have to have a driver to take over if something goes awry.
Are these fully autonomous vehicles, are they the vehicle of the future? Is it the Jetsons for us?
Eventually that may happen. It remains to be seen. But look at how fast computers developed.
Yeah.
That same technology is going to be applied to vehicles. And my guess is 20 years from now, we'll have a lot of self-driving technology, if not completely 100% self-driving.
You got any idea who owns the liability if there's a crash involved in that thing? Is it going to be the manufacturer? Is it going to be the computer programmer? Is it going to be the guy who buys it? I mean,
what I can tell you is Morgan & Morgan is salivating.
Well, that could happen too. And the other thing about that is that the laws aren't yet developed on these things completely.
No. So there's going to have to be a lot of evolution in, you know, who does what. However, if the technology evolves as promised, there should be a lot fewer accidents.
Mm-hmm. Well, you and I have a mutual friend who swears this is the wave of the future and it's going to be better than driving now. But we're Americans. You and I grew up in a car generation. The cars we wanted when we were kids were the muscle cars of the late 60s, early 70s. I still want them today.
Oh, yeah. I had a beautiful 64 Ford Galaxy.
Uh-huh.
That thing had some hop to it.
Get up and go.
Oh, uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah, and then, of course, yeah, all the muscle cars are something else. I don't want to give up the control of the car. I don't like some of the lane assist features and things that are there now. I think they're not as safe as we're told they are.
Well, public acceptance is going to take quite a long time to happen. That's why I'm saying 20 years. I think the technology might evolve faster than people's acceptance.
So what you're saying is these kids who are walking around, walking into telephone poles because they're looking down at their phones, they're the ones who are going to want those cars because they're not going to have to drive them.
And at some point in time, government may put their foot down. And they may say, well, people can only drive in these designated areas. And eventually, maybe it's only on a track. Who knows?
Wow.
I don't see that in the next 10 years.
Right.
But given the nature of government and given the nature of the world, that certainly is a trend that could happen at some point.
You talk about government regulation. It seems like there are new standards. And again, a lot of this depends on the administration and the federal government as to what mileage vehicles have to be able to perform at in order for them to be what, certified to be able to sell them? Is that how that works?
Yes. So starting in early 70s, the EPA came out with mileage. And what was happening in our industry is as the efficiency of the cars got better, the cars got bigger. Mm-hmm. If you look at a 1990 Chevy pickup truck and pull it up against the 2026, the 2026 is so much larger. And so it was felt to be in the public interest to increase the efficiency of these vehicles. And by and large, that's probably a reasonable public goal.
I want to explore it a little more when we continue, because those and other regulations affect a lot of the vehicle that you're buying today or tomorrow. We're back in moments on the Roundtable here on the Florida News Network.
Attention men, here's a great way to have more fun in bed and save money. If you want to take something like Viagra, they can give you a way to pay as little as $2 a pill. Yes, $2 a pill. Compare that to prices as high as $60 per tablet. These pills work for men to improve their performance and confidence. You'll love them. And now for the price of two or three pills, you can get 50 or more for around $100. You'll save hundreds of dollars off retail prices. That's enough to buy your date a night dinner. Don't pay expensive prices for Viagra. Call now. Order 50 or more of our blue pills and pay as little as $2 a pill and save hundreds of dollars. Call anytime for confidential shipping.
Call 800-830-0715. That's 800-830-0715. Again, 800-830-0715.
If you're a diabetic, we have great news. You can end the painful finger sticks with a new CGM. Plus, they may be covered by Medicare, Medicaid, or private insurance. If you test and inject daily, you may qualify. Call US Med now to learn more.
800-229-5110. 800-229-5110. 800-229-5110. That's 800-229-5110.
I'm a father.
I'm an aunt. I'm a neighbor.
I'm a veteran.
But out here, on the water,
I'm operating the boat.
A boat operator.
I'm a safe operator.
The operator.
If you're behind the wheel of a boat, you only have one job. Keep everyone safe. Always scan the water and be aware of your surroundings. Learn more about boating safety at myfwc.com. Brought to you by the Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission.
Shortness of breath. Patient's confused. Temp 102.
He just had an infection. What's going on?
He's becoming septic.
Antibiotics started. Bed ready. Let's move him.
Infections can lead to a deadly chain reaction in your body called sepsis. Very quickly, sepsis can cause tissue damage, organ failure, and even death. If you know the risks, can spot the symptoms, and act fast, then you can get ahead of sepsis. Learn more at cdc.gov/sepsis.
My muscles ached. I was tired all the time.
My son had a full-blown asthma attack. It came out of nowhere.
The unsettling thing about some symptoms is
I had a fever and these terrible headaches.
You don't always know what's causing them.
It was Lyme disease from a tick bite.
I had Zika virus from a mosquito.
He had a reaction to cockroach allergens.
Threats to your health can come from unexpected places. Get the facts. Visit pestworld.org. A public service message from the National Pest Management Association.
Wrapping up this weekend's edition of the Florida Roundtable, Bill Mick with Neil Huthoff, who's from the Boniface Hires Automotive Group on the Space Coast. Neil, you have to thank AJ for letting you come in and being a part of this. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you very much, Mr. Hires. Appreciate the opportunity.
And we're talking mileage and the government restrictions, and that increases cost on a vehicle too, doesn't it?
Absolutely. And when it was first implemented in the 70s, the quality of the vehicles noticeably decreased. It took the automotive industry almost 20 years to really get through those initial regulations.
Demands that the engineering wasn't ready to keep up with? kind of like electric vehicles are not quite ready for prime
it
time?
It just took them a while to figure out how to make vehicles fuel efficient and reliable at the same time. Because in engineering, reliability and complication are inversely related. So fuel efficiency added a lot of complication, so that resulted in challenges with reliability. But the engineering in the automotive world has done a fabulous job of making these cars more reliable.
Cars got bigger. They also got lighter, oddly enough, making them out of different materials. And safer, yes or no?
Absolutely. If you get in an accident in a 50-year-old vehicle versus today's vehicle, you're far better off in today's vehicle.
Is that right? Crumple zones, seatbelts, airbags, other things.
Yeah, they've done a magnificent job engineering these vehicles. Now, the downside to that is when you do get into these accidents, it's very expensive to repair the vehicles, and it's very easy to end up totaling out your vehicle.
Dad's not repairing the vehicle in the garage at home anymore.
No.
You work on yours at all? Do you try?
I do not anymore.
I don't blame you. I wouldn't either. Just a minute and a half, 2 minutes here before we go. Optimistic about your industry and where it's going? And are you optimistic for the consumer as well? What do you bring out your crystal ball and tell me what you see.
Okay, I'm very optimistic for the consumer. Capitalism always favors the consumer because it is a relentless pursuit of efficiency. So on our side, I see a lot of challenges because self-driving cars could result in some issues for us and the cost of these vehicles. People are very challenged. We're seeing a lot of substitution. So instead of buying a Kia Telluride, they might buy a Kia Sportage. We're seeing less sales of Chevy and Dodge trucks, more sales of midsize SUVs, and more sales of used cars. And if cars continue to increase in price relative to income, you could see the bottom 10 or 20% of the car market drop out and just Uber wherever they have to go, especially if you get Uber costs down through self-driving robo-taxi fleets.
Well, that's interesting because those are out there now and they're testing them and they're going to be a reality. You brought to mind a question, though. There were some nameplates that said, we'll be all electric by XX date. Are they backing up on that now that these EV mandates are kind of out of the way?
Absolutely. And that was driven by the fact that they had a gun to their head held by the U.S. government. And so they're, you know, it's a very challenging position for the manufacturer to be in. Okay, this is the law. You know, I've got to do this. Doesn't matter what the consumer wants or needs, so on and so forth. And the electric cars, right now, I wouldn't own one, but there's technology coming down the road, and in 3 years, we're going to have solid-state batteries that solve three of the big five problems.
And we've got to run. I want to have you back. We'll bring AJ back when you come back, too. We'll have some fun with this because we're Americans. We like our cars, and this has been the Florida Roundtable.
You've been listening to the Florida Roundtable with Bill Meek, a news and public affairs presentation of the Florida News Network. The views and opinions expressed during this program are those of the participants and do not necessarily reflect the views of this station management, owners, or sponsors. For questions or concerns, contact Florida Roundtable at fnnonline.net.